And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, let's get started. We are speaking with Rabbi Michael Barclay, who is a friend of mine, and there's a huge story that's emerging in the media right now, and he's the center of it. A few weeks back, he told me what happened, and I didn't pay that much attention to it. And it has something to do with a Candace Owens, who truthfully, I don't know much about. She's the darling of the right because she's a black who espouses conservative statements. Slimy Ben Shapiro hired her for his enterprise, his little cartel. And Slimy Ben Shapiro, a long time ago, explained anyone who was labeled a racist gets canceled by the left. And now they're saying Ben Shapiro canceled Candace Owens for anti-Semitism.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
I spoke to some people this morning saying I'm excited to have Michael Barclay on, who had an interview with Candace Owens, and they said, who is she? What's this about? So, Rabbi, who is she and what is this about and why is it a big deal?
Hey, Michael, it's good to see you and thank you for all you do. I'm blessed to be able to call you my friend. So Candace Owens is a kind of popped out of nowhere a number of years ago. She became the voice, a conservative voice, a pretty young black female woman. And she moved from Charlie Kirk, and she moved. I think she was working with Prager for a while, and then she's been with the Daily Wire. And God bless her in her career. I got no problem with that. She has repeatedly over the years made anti-Semitic comments.
Like what?
Most recently, Jews are that a Jewish gang controls Hollywood like the Crips and Bloods.
Don't they?
No, that's a blood libel. If they did.
No, between you and I. Come on. Jews and Hollywood go together like bread and butter, don't they?
No, look, historically, and I explained this to her as well. So historically, Hollywood was started by Jews. Absolutely. They couldn't get other jobs. It was a dirty industry they started. But by the time.
What about Katzenberg?
By the time you get to the 60s and 70s, the Jews don't control Hollywood. Today, only about 25% of executives are Jewish. And it's a blood trope. It's a blood libel. I can't get a job in Hollywood because I'm not Jewish. They only hire Jews.
Hold it. She said, what about Jews in Hollywood? Just so I hear the statement.
She compared and said, there are Jewish gangs controlling Hollywood. They're Jewish gangs like the Crips and the Bloods. And Michael.
I tell you, I have real problems with the people who control Hollywood. I mean, between you and I wouldn't compare them to the Crips and the Bloods. They're far more successful than the drug dealers ever were, but they are a cartel, and many of them are Jewish. Do I have to mention Spielberg?
No, but let's be honest. If there are people who control Hollywood, if they are, the people who are in positions of power, and they're there, and they happen to be Jewish, that's one thing. But there's not a Jewish cabal controlling Hollywood. There's not a Jewish cabal controlling banking. That's the issue. And compare them to the Crips and Bloods. Look, you know the old story. What's the definition of a Jewish gang's drive-bys? When they reach out the window, they yell and they nag. I mean, these are not Crips and Bloods. Let's be honest. And
all right, let's move on. What else did she say that you and her got into a big? You were on her podcast. Is that what happened?
So here's what happened. I read an article elucidating a number of the things that she has done over the years. Okay, that are. Whether they mean to or not, they're anti-Semitic. So I write this article. about Lucia, you know, saying very clearly this is what she's doing.
But basically, she opposes the Israel-Hamas war.
Well, no, it's worse than that. She does not see a moral distinction between what happened on October 7th and what happened, what's going on in Gaza right now.
Well, hold it. I do, but she's not alone.
Of course she's not. Of course she's not. But let's continue.
And incidentally, Rabbi, it happens to be true that a lot of right wingers are opposed to Israel right now.
It's true.
A lot of the so-called conservative movement is up in arms over Israel defending its own nation and knocking off the Hamas leadership.
So let's talk about, well, let's come back to that, because let me just give you like a sort of an update to where we are. Does that sound like a good idea?
Well, I don't want to go into the Israel war.
No. So when you look at the body of work, it's repeated a number of different things. She has issues with Shmuley Boteach. I got issues with Shmuley Boteach, but that doesn't mean
he's a con man. I never liked him.
No, but you don't have to say that he's a con rabbi or he's an unholy rabbi.
I think he's a hustler. Personally, he's a hustler with black clothing.
And you know what? That's fine to say. That's absolutely fine.
I don't mean it's not because he's Jewish. He's just a hustler who happens to be a rabbi.
Thank you. And there may be jerks running Hollywood, and it's not that they're Jewish. They're just jerks. And it may be, you know, those kind of things. So I write an article. Fine.
That's like also like saying Hasidim are diamond thieves. You know, I mean, what, all Hasidim are diamond thieves? It's crazy.
Stupid, right? If you want to say there are some diamond thieves, fine. Stupid. All right. So I write an article. And then on that Sunday, there is the Academy Award travesty with this Jonathan Glazer and all that craziness. And Monday morning, I get a call from Charlie Kirk. And Charlie, from his producer, and his producer is a really sweet guy. He says, will you be on for 10 minutes to talk about what happened at the Oscars, the anti-Semitism? I say, of course. So we start the interview, and it's, you know, 10-minute segment. And he says, you know, Rabbi, walk me through this, that there's all this anti-Semitism, anti-Israel hate at the Oscars, and yet we're told and constantly that the Jews control Hollywood. Walk me through it. So I said, look, Charlie, that is a blood libel trope. It's not true. And look, I just had an article pointing out Candace Owens' anti-Semitism and that being one of the examples. And I move on and we talk about the Academy Awards. Okay, fine. By the time the segment has ended, Charlie's producer has texted me saying Candace Owens' producer wants you on her show. So I give him my number. So I talk to...
Now, hold on. She has a what show? What kind of show? A podcast?
She's got a podcast show on The Daily Wire.
And The Daily Wire is owned by Benny Shapiro.
Not anymore. He sold it out to another company or individual, Jeremy Boring is his name.
He doesn't run the Daily Wire?
He does not. He's considered the editor emeritus. He hasn't run
it. Yeah, come on. He sold it to the people who owned him originally is what it is. He transferred ownership, probably for legal reasons that we can't even understand. Never forget he's a Harvard lawyer. Benny Shapiro collected sound bites for me when I was a radio host at TRN. That's how he started in the media. Gathered sound bites. By the way, for people who don't know who he is, many people don't even know him, by the way. He's the one who has the voice of like Mickey Mouse on Laughing Gas.
So
he's a very clever man. I mean, he's gotten very far because he's linked himself up, by the way, with extremely wealthy people who are in the business of promoting him in the Daily Wire. That's how this all happened. But having said that, it's capitalism. People are entitled to get rich.
Yes.
He hires this black woman who espouses conservative principles or values, and he believes in free speech until she suddenly steps on his shoes and starts attacking Israel and Jews.
So, and by the way, before she was a conservative, she was very anti-Trump and very liberal. She branded herself as the one of one. So let's talk about that as well.
Oh, so she went from left to right, depending on which way the wind blew.
Well, she's one of one on the right.
What do you mean one of one?
She's unique. There's no other voice like her. There's no other voice, conservative voice in her package.
Oh, wait. Wasn't she promoted by Mark Levin and Sean Hannity and all of them on Fox?
That I don't know. I know she was promoted by Prager and by Charlie and I think to an extent by Larry.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Prager. I'll tell you that right now. He collected PPP money while espousing conservative values. The Prager Institute collected federal welfare through PPP money. You know, it's like which side we're supposed to believe because we're anti-welfare when the poor blacks get it, but we're for welfare when the rich Jews get it, like Prager.
Michael, you know as much as anybody the heat that I've personally gotten or our temple got for never closing. You know that. And yet Dennis went around saying that there was never a temple open in all of 2020. And he knew we were open.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Look, I love my meal kits. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone who isn't making it on Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes. They're amazing. They're conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. You've got to try this. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-proportioned ingredients and easy instructions, quick recipes in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, oh, is that a mess, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Here's the good part. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical, too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. You heard me right. Home Chef even has a delicious, kid-friendly family menu with 18 new options each week. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your first box. You must go to homechef.com/savage to try it. Just go to homechef.com/savage. That's homechef.com/savage, and you're going to get 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Just go to homechef.com/savage. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Go to homechef.com/savage for the most delicious meals you've ever tasted. Just go to homechef.com/savage. I don't even know the guy. I know he's jealous of me and he has very little talent, but let's move on beyond these petty little disputes.
So here's what happens. So I get a call. I talk to the producer. The producer says, look, would you be willing to come on the show and educate Candace and explain to her why Jews think she's anti-Semitic? You know me. I got a problem.
So you, you stepped into the lion's den. You didn't know what you were stepping into.
Look, you know, because you and I have had these discussions, you know I try, much to your sometimes against your advice, you know that I try and really hold out hope for anyone. And so when someone tells me that, it's like, okay, I'm going to come on and do what I do, and I'm going to educate someone and say, look, do you realize this is anti-Semitic? Do you realize this is anti-Semitic? I came for a dialogue. I came to build peace. And she came to get clicks and debate and have a war. And it's like, you know, and then the next day she doubled down on it. So that was on Tuesday. We had this. The one thing that did come out of the interview with her is I said, look, you don't seem to understand that the horrors of October 7th, if I arrange a private screening for you, because it has to be done privately, of the 47 minutes of IDF footage from the GoPro, Hamas GoPro footage, will you watch? She keeps hemming and hawing. She finally did commit to doing that. She's had 15 invitations. That's not quite true. 10 to 11 invitations at this point. And she still has not yet to pick. Just pick a date for the consulate to show her the movie.
She wouldn't care what the Hamas terrorists did to Jewish babies, women, and children.
Yeah,
she's making a very good living with her antagonistic position towards Israel is getting her the attention she's craved all of her left and right lives. So now she's getting what she wants. But isn't she associating with this Nazi anti-Semite Nick Fuentes?
Well, this is what I did not know until afterwards. So what happens afterwards is the next day she doubles down on it. She calls me a Jewish supremacist. And you know, I'm into other cultures. So you know exactly. You personally know how antithetical I am, that is who I am.
What is a Jewish supremacist?
I guess I think that she seems to believe that I think that Jews are better than everyone else in the universe.
Aren't we?
And should run the world? No.
Aren't we? Come on, I'm just joking.
And you know how I've cast and taken on Schumer and Greenblatt and different Jews.
Yes,
you know
I do.
And you know how I've stood for the Catholics when they were being attacked.
And I do. No, Rabbi, I do. And I attacked Schumann the other day. I called him a Judenrat. People don't know that.
Yes.
Judenrat means Jewish Council under Nazi Germany. And Schumer represents exactly what the Judenrat did.
100%.
So wait, you've been critical, to be clear to my listeners, of the ADL, as I have. You've also been critical of other Jewish people and organizations. Yes. You have emphasized that criticizing a Jewish person or organization is not anti-Semitic. So how do you describe anti-Semitism?
So anti-Semitism, the best definition was defined by Lord Jonathan Sacks, who was the chief rabbi of England, great scholar, one of the great voices of the 20th century. And anti-Semitism is unique in terms of its insidiousness. It is the hate of Jews to the point that you do not believe they should exist collectively as Jews. And it is a hate that mutates. Not that we change the definition, but the one who hates the Jews in the Middle Ages defines it, they manifest it as a hate of the religion. In the 18th through 20th centuries, when we're involved in science and race is a big thing, all these scientific studies about race, they manifest their hate for us as a hate for our race. And in the 20th century, after 1948,
Judaism is not a race, it's a religion. People should know that.
Absolutely.
And you know that, you're an educated man, but Jewish people range from blonde, blue-eyed people to falashes, black Ethiopians. It's not a racial thing. I mean, the identity of Jews are of the Ashkenazi Jew. It's a religion, not a race. Do you regret anything that you said to Owens during the interview?
I don't regret things. Would I say things differently to her? Possibly.
Did you fight with each other? Did you start yelling and screaming? Did it reach that point?
I didn't get to a yelling and screaming place, but it got to a place where I walked in thinking, okay, this woman really is not an anti-Semite in her heart, and she wants to understand why we think she is.
But she just posted this on Twitter. She said, "I do not know Nick Fuentes," said Candace Owens. I do not know that. What I do know is that everyone can see what you guys are doing to me. Your pattern is well established, and the world is waking up to it. My crime is having stood up for myself against your network of smears, Candace Owens.
Again, the Jewish cabal, come on. And whether she says she's a friend of Nick Fuentes or not, he's clearly a friend of hers. I have gotten hundreds of death threats, Michael. Okay. I have, you look on Twitter, the thousands of comments of, "You effing Zionist, I'm going to effing destroy you and destroy your effing people." Rabbi Barclay commits psychosexual rape with his gang of Jews on Candace Owens.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, just such bile. And
you can't let it look. Let me give you some advice. I put up with it my whole career. It's very painful. But you have, you know, you're a public figure as a rabbi, and you have to expect the hatred to come at you. And as painful as it is, you got to put up a shield or a screen, some filter.
It's just sad. And I'm not concerned about it for a number of reasons, per se.
Well, Dan Bongino went on Twitter a few weeks ago when I criticized a number of people in a conservative movement without even naming them. I said a lot of them are controlled opposition. He went crazy. He said, "You don't know who you're effing with," on Twitter to me. Mr. Muscle-bound Dan Bongino. Another great intellect.
And Dave Smith and Jake Shields, these guys sit there, and Nick Fuente attacking me. It's like, you know what? It's like it's not something that really.
So, Rabbi, what do you say to critics who will just say Owens being fired by the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro is really proof that there is a Jewish cabal?
How about taking a look at the incredible arrogance that she has and the foolishness that she has? You know, Michael, I had a 90-minute interview with her. I asked the producer how long it goes. It could be as long as she wants, but typically a half an hour to 45 minutes. 90 right. minutes. Not once was this young woman, did she have the personal responsibility or emotional maturity to say, "Wow, I didn't know that. I'm sorry, I'm going to change my language." Not once. This is a woman who has now gone on a tirade for the last week or two or longer about she will stake her entire career that the prime minister of France, that his wife is actually a man.
She said that?
She said that, yeah.
Well, she doesn't look that smart to me. I'm looking at her on Twitter. She looks like a puppet, like a carved puppet. I mean, she doesn't.
Michael, you will love this one, okay? And there's video of this.
She's stupid.
She's
a glib, stupid idiot. Period.
So she's on with some comedian, and he's talking, and she says, "Well, when I was in Israel, it reminded me of the segregation of the South, because when I was walking through Jerusalem, the Muslim quarter was the only place the Muslims could live." And the guy looks at her and says, "Do you understand? Muslims can live anywhere. That's called the Muslim quarter going back centuries, because there's the Muslim, the Jewish, the Armenian, the Christian quarter. Do you understand that this is not segregation? They're not forced to live there. It's where shops are. It's been like that." And she looked like a rabbit in headlights, because she just didn't even understand that. And I went in to try and educate, because you know me well enough to know that's a big passion.
I'm not shocked by this. She's a DEI hire by Ben Shapiro, who backfired on him in plain English. He tried to get himself, you know, more accepted by hiring a black woman who he thought was a conservative, when you told me she was a liberal before being a conservative. And now she's suddenly the hero of the right and of the left for attacking Ben Shapiro.
And she's the hero, and she's paired herself, whether you want to say that she's done it or she's, in whatever way, there is this coalition with people who are influencers, quote unquote, who, like Nick Fuentes and these guys who just.
What is an influencer? What is it? How many people do you need to have to be called an influencer?
I don't know.
Is there a minimal number? Is like a threshold above a certain number? You're an influencer. Below it, you're a non-influencer.
Below it, you're none.
Wait. I joke around and I say, if Albert Einstein were alive, he wouldn't be an influencer today. A girl with good abs would have more followers than him.
Michael, if Jesus were alive, he wouldn't be an influencer.
If Jesus were alive, Biden's Justice Department would arrest him for insurrection.
Look, I come from the Heschel belief, okay? If you affect one person, even if it's only yourself, you've done something good.
Rabbi Barclay, wait. You're an American rabbi, author, and lecturer. You're a great guy. You run a temple near Simcha in Westlake Village.
Correct.
And sometimes on Friday nights, I tune in on Facebook. You have your services. You're a theologian. You're a descendant of Ukrainian rabbis from Chernigov. That's interesting. And you're really an eclectic kind of guy. And you cross cultures in many ways, including into an area I want to talk about, because you're into cross-cultural mysticism, meditation, and your connection to the Native Americans is something I'd rather talk about than Candace Owens and the Daily Wire.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this. Now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right. No cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024 validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Could you tell the audience you're about to go on a retreat with some of your friends in the Yaqui tribe, aren't you?
I wouldn't say it's a retreat. I'm blessed to be able to go to their ceremonies.
What is it? Who are the Yaquis? And how did they pick a Jewish guy like you to allow him in?
I think it would be a better statement for Yaqui to make. I can just tell you that the Yaqui are a tribe from Mexico through Arizona. And many years ago, I was blessed, as you know, to become friends with a man named Anselmo Valencia, who's the chief of them. And I have a number of Bicaros, a number of God kids on the reservation. It's a big part of my life.
Are you the only outsider allowed to sit through those?
No, there are other people who are around there.
You've invited me to come there, but I'm paranoid about COVID, so I don't go anywhere.
Yeah, no, and look, I'm just, it's family. That's all.
Take peyote?
I've never seen anyone there take any.
I don't know what they're into. I thought they were into the way of the Yaqui was a
no, mescaline.
I thought it was a mescaline thing.
So I will only tell you that when I first met Anselmo, blessed memory, and I really prefer not to talk about the culture, it's not mine to talk about.
I get it.
But I will tell you that when I met Anselmo, when I was 27, maybe, something 26, something like that. And like most of us, I've read Castaneda stuff, and I said, so tell me about Carlos Castaneda, and I will tell you what he said. He said, you know, I'd like to meet him because I'd like to ask him two questions. Number one, or say two things. Number one, I'd like to say, thank you. Your publicity helped me get more funding for my people. But number two, who are you talking about? I've been blessed to...
What are you talking about? He got it all wrong? Castaneda was writing fiction?
Well, Castaneda ultimately admitted that what he was talking about were Navajo, that Don Juan and Don Gennaro were Navajo, interestingly.
The Navajo, later, not the Yaqui.
He actually said that later in his life. Castaneda did, yeah.
Now, Castaneda was an author who wrote some bestsellers, including, what were the titles of his books?
Oh, I don't even remember. The Way of Something, he wrote all these books that were—
About one death, of which, Sitting With Us and all that?
Yeah, Castaneda wrote a number of books.
Does death sit with us? Is there a death figure around us?
Right now?
In your knowledge of Judaism, of Yaqui way, worldly ways, you're an intercult, you're a cross-cultural guy. Does death stalk us through our whole life?
Does death stalk us, or are there dead around us? I don't understand the question.
Just two questions then.
Death is always near us, and that's why we need to live every moment as passionately as we can.
Embrace life, therefore choose life.
Exactly.
So we as Jews have to remember that and teach the world, embrace life, not death.
Choose life. I place before you life and death. Choose life. In terms of the dead.
Say it in Hebrew, please, Rabbi.
Actually, I don't remember the entire phrase, so I don't want to misquote. I don't want to misquote a phrase.
Well, I know that there is a battle in the world between licht or light and finster or darkness.
So when did you start doing Yiddish?
Licht is light and finster is darkness.
In Yiddish. It's Or Choshek in Hebrew. So.
Okay, but light and darkness, licht and finster, it's a battle. And we are taught, therefore choose light, therefore choose life.
Right.
Always go into life.
I place before you this day, life and death, choose life. There's the other question you ask, I want to answer with a quote from Anselmo. Okay. You ask, are the dead around us? Over 30 years ago, I was sitting next to Anselmo during the Dia de Muerte, the Day of the Dead ceremonies. And, you know, as they're calling out the dead, it's like he sees them. And I said to him, Anselmo, I can sense the dead, but do you see and hear them as clearly as you do me? And he goes, of course, Michael, don't you? And I said, no, I don't. And he looks at me and goes, guess you're just not listening carefully enough.
Oh, God.
So
in other words, it's not a photo album to a Yaqui.
It's not a photo album to a Jew either. You know, in the holiday of Sukkot, we invite the dead to come to our sukkah for Rosh Bizen. We invite them. We are forbidden from commanding them to come, but we invite them to come as our guests.
But when does sukkah appear in the Jewish?
Sukkah is right after Yom Kippur.
People make the thatched huts, okay.
So they have the hut. And for each night of those seven nights, we invite Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, and David to call seven of them.
But what about our ancestors? Just them?
We finish. We invite them and our ancestors
okay.
to join them. And Many of us have powerful dreams of our ancestors in the sukkah. Throughout, you know, our tradition and our theology, there's really no question about the dead existing. There is only a question of how we interact with that. You know, it's interesting. We, throughout Judaism, as you know, we light two candles on Shabbat. We have three wicks on Havdalah. We have nine up to nine candles on Hanukkah. Only once do we only light one candle. It's the Yahrzeit candle, memorial candle. And it comes from the phrase in the book of Proverbs, Nishmat Adam Ne'aronai, the soul of the human being is the candle flame of God. And we believe that the soul is now unified with God.
So, you know, this March 31st, which is my birthday, God willing, is also this year on our calendar, Easter Sunday, which is the day Christ was resurrected. So I was speaking to a nice Mexican woman yesterday, and she said, in my country, in Mexico, we celebrate over many days with masks and ceremonies the resurrection of Jesus. It must be incredibly beautiful to witness this celebration. Are there any such holidays that's a Christian holiday? Easter Sunday, the day Christ rose from the dead. Do we as Jews believe in such things in our people?
The outfits or rising from the dead?
The outfits, you just go to Barney's. I don't know.
Yeah, go to Purim. We got Purim this weekend.
All you got to do is go to San Francisco. You can see the outfits.
It's the I don't go to San Francisco anymore.
No, you see the Day of the Dead every time you walk down the street. But
we do. Look, we believe as Jews, and it's, and I want to just put out something that I think you'll find interesting. The tribe, the Yaqui tribe, is actually, they were the Yomem, and the Spaniards heard one word repeated over and over. And this is what Anselmo had told me. And they heard this word Yahweh, which actually was one of their names for God. Hmm. And you know, I would joke, and I would say, you know, the Yaqui are the lost tribes of Israel. He'd say, no, Michael, the Jews are the lost Yaqui.
I get it.
Do we have ceremonies of resurrection? One of the reasons theologically that Jews do not believe in cremation, we try to do burial, is because of the idea that when Mashiach comes, Messiah comes, we will all be resurrected.
I'm sorry, you lose me there. There's,
I have some problems with it.
As a trained Western man, sorry, I do not believe that we're resurrected from our bones and ashes.
So here's what I will tell you why I recommend not to do cremation. It has nothing to do with that.
Because I personally don't buy the theology. I don't believe in cremation for one reason, because they give you back ashes from a dead pig. People take home the ashes. They think it's of their relative. It could be ashes that they got out of a fireplace.
Well, I got two reasons. Number one, it takes a lot longer. So you take some longer to grieve because you don't even get the ashes back for 2 weeks. Number two, so this son gets this ashes, this son gets half the ashes. Who's got the top? Who's got the bottom? Or here, this is going to sound funny to you, and it's not when you get the phone call. Rabbi, help me. What happened? We had the urn with grandma's ashes. The cat knocked it over and ate the ashes. What do I do? The cat ate grandma.
You had that happen?
I had that call.
Why would a cat eat ashes?
I didn't get to that part. I was trying to deal with the fact that this woman was hysterical, that her grandmother had died and the cat ate it.
So what's the Talmudic answer to that riddle?
Don't do the cremation in the first place. Bury the person.
If I were the rabbi, I'd say kill the cat and they cremate it and then bury the cat's ashes.
There you go.
I'm sorry. You know me. I have a sense of humor. That's splitting the baby with the bath ashes.
That's splitting the ashes, exactly. We have a lot of traditions that...
I have friends who own boats who actually do this for a living. They're very nice captains and they disperse ashes in San Francisco Bay for different groups, Indians, Chinese, Americans. And there are many stories about it. They're all dignified ceremonies. There's nothing humorous about it. It's very somber. And there's a famous story. They go out the Golden Gate Bridge to throw the ashes. And unfortunately, the winds are prevailing against the boat. And the ashes blew back onto everyone's clothing and face. That's one. You got to make sure when you're dropping ashes in the water off the stern of a boat that you're upwind into the wind, not tailwind into the wind.
It's sad, funny, and true all at the same time.
Look, if we can't laugh at our mortality, I don't know what's left for me at this stage in my life anyway.
But Michael, here's the reality about, and I will say this about you, and I will say it publicly. In a certain way, despite your, whether lack of observance or observance, religiosity, not religiosity, whatever, you are the archetype of what a Jew should be.
Hush, don't tell Candace that.
But here's the reason. Because you understand that the idea of life, of death being there, is to make us live life passionately, to live fully.
Grasp.
And to live in the moment, to really do everything that we can do. You've never taken, you know, God willing, you're going to be 39 again this, you know, on the 31st. You've never, your whole life, you've spent your life in passionately enveloping life, passionately exploring it, whether it's in the Fijian Islands or whether it's in New York or wherever it is. That's what a Jew is supposed to do, is to live right and righteously, to try and make the world a better place than, leave it better than it was when he found it, and to do it with passion and joy. Look at King David, who dances with such abandon.
You just did a great speech for my funeral. I hope to God it's not soon.
I'm not.
That's a great speech. I'm going to write that one down.
You know what? We're not going to worry about that for many decades, okay?
Well, I'm 82 years old this March, Michael, and I'm feeling it. I'll be honest with you.
I know.
I don't act it.
So you and I had a conversation a while back, and I want to remind you of that there's the Michael Savage books, and there's the Dr. Michael Weiner books.
Mm.
There's the Michael Savage Politics, and there's the Dr. Michael Weiner Healing as well.
Mm.
And that I believe, and talked about it with your astrological chart, because we did Jewish astrology and everything else, I believe that it would be very healing for you and for others to really share a lot of that Dr. Weiner knowledge and wisdom that you've accumulated over these 82 years.
Yeah, but this book, God, Faith, and Reason, is actually...
I love that book.
That's actually an important book for me.
I love that book.
It's a combination of, you know, what's the difference whether it's my inherited family name or my stage name?
But you know what I mean? That's an example. The books like God, Faith, and Reason right now are the books that we need from people like you.
You're talking about Secrets of Fijian Medicine, Nutrition Against Aging. The books I wrote as Michael Weiner before I became a radio star or radio personality, however you want to look at it.
The books of your experience in multiple, your understanding as an elder, forgive me for calling you that, but your understanding of what makes the world tick. In some ways, they're all these pundits, but that's what's wise.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
A savage republic inside the plot to destroy America lays out the threats we face, prepare you for what's next, and offer solutions to save our republic. Please wake up and fight back before it is too late. You can buy it right now on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. A Savage Republic, Inside the Plot to Destroy America by Michael Savage. Thank you for listening. Share it with five others.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Magnus Opus, unknown book, available on Kindle. So much lifeblood went into this book. The intensity of this. And no one knows the book. It's got a great, the Yaki would love this book.
You give me copies, I'll give it to guys next week.
They're on.
It's better yet, you come out and you come join us, and you can give your own copies out. But I think what the world needs now, and what the world doesn't need now, the world does not need people who are focused on how many clicks they can get on their Twitter feed.
Thank you. That's really what we're talking about.
Okay.
So here's a person called Candace Owens, who is a vacuous human being who exists only because of clicks. Hired by a vacuous human being named Ben Shapiro, who exists only because of clicks, originally on Daily Wire, then on social media. And so you have vacuous. They met each other, and she neutralized his image in his own mind. I mean, he speaks about free speech and fires her for disagreeing with him about Israel and Jews. Why did he have to fire her, by the way? He could have left. She could have been the resident anti-Semite. It would have been better for his enterprise.
You know, there's a whole theory that I've I really didn't know Candace Owens' career at all until I chose to write that article, because then I did research about her career until I chose to write an article.
Is she educated? Does she have an education?
She dropped out of college.
I thought so.
She's
a big, she's a motor mouth who got by on her glib tongue.
Look, there are intelligent people who dropped out of college. I didn't say not.
Yeah. But there are very intelligent people who didn't drop out of college.
Correct.
You know, I love what's going on now. People say, I'm proud to say I never went to college. I say, excuse me, as a man who spent 20 years in higher education, killing myself for two master's degrees and a PhD, and they're really good degrees, I take offense at that. Not all higher education is a waste of time, and not all people with higher educations are fools.
Exactly. And not all people without education are fools. They could be wise too.
That's right. And not all people with the name rabbi are religious. And not all people without the name rabbi are not religious.
Look, there are good people and schmucks in every tradition. but look, I think what the world needs is, let me tell you something my grandma told me. My grandma was in her 90s, and my brother and I, God rest her soul, we got her web TV so she could see the internet.
You got her what?
Do you remember web TV?
No.
It was the idea you could see the internet on your television. You could go into chat rooms.
Oh, so what happened?
So we spent 2 hours and we had that tea and she looked, and I go, Grandma, what do you think? And she said, you know, this is either going to save the world or destroy it. And I'm glad I'm not going to be around to see which. And I think that in a culture that is so concerned with clicks, it makes heroes and heroines of people that do not have the depth.
Yes.
More responsibility.
I understand. Michael, I have a different view. I talked about it this morning with someone. I said, I'm going to interview Michael today by Zoom. He's in LA. I'm here. He's like in my house with me, thanks to the internet. Yesterday, I interviewed live for Berlin, a historian in favor of capitalism, a brilliant guy that no one ever heard of. It'll be a podcast next week. He was in his house in Berlin. I'm here in San Francisco. The internet is what you make of it. It's like a loaded, it's a gun. It's like a gun. A gun can be used for evil or for good. And so can the internet.
And Michael, that's where I believe voices like yours are needed, to counteract the vacuous click mentality and rather put on, look, you know, I'm a big fan of it. And despite my lack of time, your Sunday God Talks. Because those are the kind of things that I think
people like the God Talks a lot. I don't know why. I get up in the morning, I put on the outfit, I'm a little depressed, and I sometimes don't want to do it. And I say, you have to do it.
Michael.
God demands you do it.
I
actually have to do it sometimes.
You do.
I think of you. I say, how many Saturdays has he awoken? Tired, children, life. Doesn't have the energy to get up there in front of the pulpit and lead this congregation into joy. How does he do it? He does it. He has to do it. But in doing it, you actually get energy, right?
I do. It's been really hard, honestly, since October 7th. I write two to three emails per day to our congregation about what's going on in Israel and the war. And because I'm like you, I feel I have to do it. Otherwise, it's out of their consciousness. And I'm pretty exhausted as a result. Well,
let's just stick to what we're talking about. And I want to just say this because we're reeling. It's enough. 35 minutes is more than the average person is going to listen in the age of clicks. If they listen beyond 3 minutes, we're lucky. Some will listen to every minute. We've been speaking with a great guy, a brilliant guy, a scholar, a rabbi, Michael Barclay. And his temple is Temple Ner Simcha, NerSimcha in Westlake Village, California. What does Ner Simcha mean?
It means the light of joy or the candle.
The light of joy? Wow. And that you wound up being fascinated by Native American culture really was the clicker for me.
We've known that for years, yeah.
That because I wrote that book, Earth Medicine, in 1972. As an American who was fascinated by Native American culture, I was so drawn into the herbal medicine of various tribes. But you went much deeper than that. You actually live the mystical depth of a particular tribe by them inviting you into their religious ceremony.
It's, you know what? I'm just blessed that I have family and that I get to participate and pray in that way.
Look, it's a Friday for us. It's a beautiful time. It's noon on a Friday. You have a beautiful Sabbath coming up tonight. You'll be with your family. You'll have a dinner. You have everything. The children are young. I'm alone. My children grew up. And one thing is, like, it's in the movie, what was that movie? Avalon, by the great Jewish director.
Barry Levinson.
Yeah, Levinson. I mean, some of his movies are great, but Avalon, I'll never forget. It starts out with an immigrant Jewish family in Baltimore in the late 40s. And there's 30, 40 people for a Thanksgiving dinner all together. Everyone's together. Then, as time goes on, one of them opens one of the first TV stores in Baltimore, and he gets rich. He becomes one of the wealthier ones. And the family does very well through hard work and perseverance and capitalism. And as the years go on, the number of people coming to the Thanksgiving dinner diminish. One guy says one thing that insults the other, so he doesn't come back to the dinner. Then the guy comes in late, and they cut the turkey. He says, "You cut the turkey without me?" And he doesn't come back to the Thanksgiving dinner. The last scene in that movie, Avalon, is of a guy alone in a house. The lights are off and only the TV is on. And he's eating a frozen turkey TV dinner on a tray. That's me. I'm the guy eating the frozen turkey dinner alone on the tray. When I grew up in a home, my mother in that little house, 20 foot wide, would cook for 20 people.
So, Michael, if you don't know, then please know. You are always welcome, and as it would be a blessing to have at our Shabbat table or Passover Seder.
That's beautiful.
Just you as a friend, you are always more than welcome.
The rabbi here in where I live invites me. He's a great kid, great young guy.
I mean, you know, it is one of the beautiful things about Judaism is the communal setting, and we lose that when we assimilate. And again, it goes back to,
it's the way of all flesh. Come on. Cultures assimilate.
But I think one of the things we need to really be conscious of is to have voices that are authentic voices of, you know, people who have experience.
Okay, so let's go back to the end and start at the beginning. It's a big hullabaloo between you and this unknown who will be forgotten before long. This woman will be forgotten because she has no depth. And then there's the hustler, in my opinion, Maya phrase, Benny Shapiro, who's done very well for himself. Very smart hustler, by the way. And you live in a different universe. You know, you're a fundamentally real person. You have a lot to offer. You run a great congregation. And you actually put the energy out for them every week. It's online with the music. You got the musicians in L.A. You got a guitar player, a piano player. You got it all going. You keep it going. And that's what's important, is that you bring light to the world, not darkness. While what we were talking about before, and we'll follow this conversation, is really about darkness. When you talk about it, it's not racial things when I say darkness. That can be taken the wrong way. It's a darkness of spirit. Wouldn't you say?
I would say it's worse than that.
Worse.
I would say it is. There is a particular level of darkness that comes when someone says or does bad things. There is an even deeper level of insidious darkness when someone says or does them and follows it up with, you know, this is my faith saying.
Thank you so much for being with me. And us.
Only goodness for you in every way, Michael. I love you very much. I hope
let's
you
stay in touch. Thanks for being with me. We'll send you the podcast the minute it's up.
You're the best. Thank you.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.